musical family. Amen. And we give God praise for all of the music. Amen. It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
My Lord.
And we thank God for
my Savior.
Every mode of grace.
My Redeemer.
Amen. We're going to go right ahead.
Yes,
and you know, those of you who have been sojourning with us, that we got into a series throughout the Passover season, let's say, based on snapshots of the cross. Amen. So we're going to turn the corner just a little bit today and talk about a few things about what that means. We saw what God did on his side.
Oh, yes.
So what does that mean you and I should do on our side? Amen. Because God has done what he did, there are some things that we need to do to, just to use the title of our message today, to cultivate the fruitfulness of our calling.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. So we're going to ask you to stand, stretch your legs a little bit. Hope you enjoyed the worship and the praise to the Lord today. Amen. And we're going to go right ahead and read just a few verses from the Old Covenant in the book of Jeremiah. We're going to take a look in that chapter 17, just a few verses. And also for the New Testament, we'll be looking in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 2. And just a few verses there. So read with me, if you don't mind, Jeremiah 17 and 5 from the KJV. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heap in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen. That's the Old Testament to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And now from the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, read, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do he called you by our gospel to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by spirit. Read on. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us have a brief word of prayer. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for all that you have done. Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place in our salvation, Lord God. And Father, we ask you to be with us right now. Teach us some things, how to cultivate that which you have planted in us, that which you have entrusted us with. And we just give you all the glory and the praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church say it together, amen, amen, amen. We want to talk about cultivating the fruitfulness of your calling. Now, I want you to see something here. This passage stuck out to me because it's very important how we view what God is doing through us. Amen. Keep that in mind. All that we talked about the cross was what God was doing for us when he gave his son to be crucified on the cross. And we know that was a hideous, ugly, terrible thing. It was an awful situation.
situation would happen to Jesus. And we looked at that in some detail, although we could never exhaust fully what that means. No matter what we do in all of time, we can't really understand the depth of the cross. We'll be continuing to get revelation about what God did and why he chose to do it that way. But what I found out in my meditation, and I wanted to share it with you, is that it's very important that we understand how much God loved us. That's the biggest thing we can see when we take a look at the cross. Because the cross, as hideous as it was, and as ugly of a thing as it is, I can't think of anything uglier than men who were created by God. And God sends his son. He comes in the flesh. He's incarnated. That's what that term means, in the flesh. God in the flesh comes in right as he scheduled it. You know, he had written about it all those centuries and generations before he came, so it should not have been a surprise. Showed up exactly in the fashion that it said in the word, and ended up with him crucified on a tree.
Amen.
Wow, that just blows my mind. It's mind-boggling to think about that. Mm-hmm. And so after that, what you have to do is see right there that this is how much I love you.
Yeah.
And this also shows you how ugly sin is, the problem that we all have to deal with.
Yeah.
The cross shows you how much I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why John 3:16 says, and that what so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
And whosoever, that means anybody, he's doing this for anyone who wants to accept the offer. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. That means you won't be destined to my judgment.
Yeah.
I don't have to give you what you deserve, is what it means.
Right.
It means you're a recipient of my mercy.
Yeah.
If you believe what I did for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
So God doesn't want us to be put to death. He doesn't even want death. Death is an ugly thing.
Mm-hmm.
So God subjected himself through his son to death. That's what we see on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to show you, there's nobody in this room, shouldn't be anybody in the world, even by the extension of my voice, who doesn't understand that God loves you.
Yes, he does.
That's the boldest statement, that I love you this much. Sin is this ugly. You can't pay the bill, so I'm going to pay it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I pay your bill in full.
Thank you, God.
I sent somebody who could take my judgment.
Yeah.
And I judged him. I forsook him on the tree.
Yes.
So that you who cannot take my judgment can come covered under his blood and know for sure that your slate is clean with me.
Right.
I have forgiven you.
My.
Totally. And it's a pronouncement that cannot be changed. We were talking about this in the class this morning. God cannot change.
No.
He can't.
And if he says he loved Adam and he made him in his own image, guess what? He still loves mankind.
Amen.
His passion has not changed.
Yes.
So what did he do? He had to do something to satisfy his judgment and his justice. And so in order to do that, since no living soul can do that, I'll do it myself. He prophesied that I'll come in the world, come in the flesh. He made a way he could come in the world, come in the flesh, and take the punishment and the judgment that you and I deserve.
Amen.
So when we see those snapshots from the cross, that's what we're looking at. So now what should our response be to a God that loves us that much? How do you react to that? Do we just simply say thank you? Is that enough? I would say we need to cultivate, because God said that I left you here so that you could be fruitful. Remember what he told Adam in the garden? He told Adam and Eve, he meant it physically at that point, but he also means it spiritually. Be fruitful and multiply. See? And that's the same thing he wants to happen with the church. I've given my son and I command you to be fruitful and multiply. How do we know that? See, it doesn't say that in the New Testament, does it, Pastor? Well, in a way it does. Jesus got out the grave after he had defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated all your enemies. And he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So there isn't anyone with any more power. Jesus is in control of all power.
Yes, he is.
It's given to me. Why? Because I earned it, he could say, in heaven and earth. I satisfied the just judgment of God.
Amen.
I satisfied his wrath. I took the full blast of his wrath against mankind.
Yeah.
And I shed my blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness.
Oh.
All the way from Adam's sin on up until throughout the Mosaic period up till Jesus came,
blood was shed. The sacrifices were shed on the altar for the forgiveness of sin year after year after year after year. Until God himself took on flesh. And it was not the blood of bulls and goats, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, but the precious blood of Jesus, like as of a lamb who was crucified to shed his blood to be the last Passover. See, what does Passover mean? That means when, if you obey me, God said, on the night when the angel of death comes and flies over, put the blood on your doorpost and on the lintel, and the angel of death will pass over and spare your firstborn. See, he was sparing the firstborn of the people who believe in the blood. But now this time, instead of sparing his own son, he gave his son.
Yes.
And allowed him to die there on the tree. And then it showed us that he got up out the grave. Why? Because he didn't deserve to die. So now I do that to make an investment in every one of you who believe in me. The seed of God has been implanted into you by faith. And we call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you by faith. You know what? The second you believe Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given to you. I think it happens before you believe Jesus. You know why I think that? Now, I'm not going to try to get too theological here. But I don't think you could believe Jesus if God didn't give you faith to do so. That's right. And the Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:2. But when the message from God comes, faith comes by hearing. When the gospel is preached, this is why there's nothing more important on earth than preaching the gospel. Because when the gospel is preached, it gives faith. Do you know the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes? So God is imparting faith to people to let you know the good news is I gave my son, he died for you, he pays your bill in full, he's the only one who ever satisfied me or ever could or ever will. When you trust him, you are saved. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. See, it's on so many places. Think about it. If God said a thing, no matter what it was he said, boom, it would be so just because he's God. He don't have a trouble, any kind of a problem making something happen, does he? Look at the creation and the whole created order. It came, as theologians say, ex nihilo. That's out of nothing. God spoke and things came into existence. So he cannot lie, because if he says it, that's the way it is. Simply put, that, now that's to look at it that way. So since God has made an investment in me and you, and he wants to do this for everyone, God never changes. We talked about that in our class this morning. He's immutable. He does not change. He cannot change. Now, why is nothing to change? He's perfect. In every perfection. See, and he's indescribable. We can't even describe him. See, but everything he does is perfect without a flaw. So he had to make a perfect way in order for a wretch like me, who is undone, to be right in his sight. And he did that. And then he gives me and you the privilege. We ought to be honored and privileged to go and tell the rest what God has done. One of the things we include in our first opening sessions here at the church is the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important message ever uttered in time and eternity in the universe.
Amen.
Now, you know what? The world's not saying that. The world's not saying that. You don't hear that on the 5 o'clock news. You don't hear that out in the streets. We hear some of everything, but we do not hear that, do we? But you know what the Bible says? That's why Jesus said when he got out the grave, was not hurt by death, because death came to him, but it was not because he sinned. It was so he could pay my sin bill. He could pay your sin bill entirely. So he was subjected to death. The Bible says he tasted death for every man in order that he might give us the righteousness that God requires. That's why he taught Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, I don't want to come to God with my righteousness. I show up there, I got a problem. Why? Because all your righteousnesses are filthy rags in my sight. See, but if I come in Jesus' righteousness, I don't have to worry about it. When you come in Jesus' righteousness, God accepts you just like he accepted him. So what do we do in between time? Well, we want to cultivate that fruitfulness to which we have been called. God told his disciples after he got up out of the grave, God the Son, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. See, he didn't say just the Jews, all the nations. That means every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. Teach all of them what? The gospel. Tell them the gospel. That's our first interaction with anyone, is to tell them the gospel. That God loves you just like you are. He accepts you just like you are if you accept his son. He gave his son in order to accept you just like you are.
Amen.
See, we have to make that plain.
Yes.
Because that is what gives people faith to say, I can do this. You know, if I think it's going to be me and my filthy rags, then I'm going to be a little leery about that. You know, God's looking at me based on me. I got a problem.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said, this is my deal, and I'm publishing this in all the earth.
Yeah.
I want you to know, just like you are, believe him.
Model.
When you do, I cover you just like you are.
Yeah.
Now, when he does, the Holy Spirit is given to you, and we mentioned that. He grants you the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead.
Amen.
He is God.
Yes, he is.
He is a one. Let's say God has, just like you do. We talked about this in our previous series. I'm going to connect these for you. You have three entities that make you up. You are a body. We all believe that one because we see it. But you're also a soul and a spirit. So God, being like he is, was spirit. The Bible says in John 4, right?
Yep.
That God is a spirit.
Yeah.
They who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, so God, being a spirit, could not shed the blood that was necessary to satisfy his wrath.
That's right.
So God took on flesh.
Yes, he did.
And that's where we get the incarnation, God the Son. Now God the Holy Spirit is also invisible.
Yep.
But he is given to you who believe.
Yes, he does.
He always existed.
Amen.
He always was God. He always will be God.
Amen.
But he couldn't move in to filthy temples.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent the Son to make the cleansing of our body, which is our temple, clean.
Amen.
He takes away all our sin, all our stain, all our guilt, all our unrighteousness. And then he moves in to start a work in you. That's why Paul says to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, he which hath began, he said, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit moves in to take up an ongoing work in your life. He's not going to stop till you're perfect.
Never.
You know, when we become perfect is when we stop breathing.
Amen.
Up until then, we got flaws. We got issues.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is in there constantly making you more fruitful.
Yeah.
He's making you more Christ-like.
Yeah.
He's giving you more faith. He's making you a better service person to God.
Yeah.
He's helping you in everything you have to deal with in your life.
Amen.
The whole time we call it progressive sanctification.
Yeah.
To put a theological term on it.
Yeah.
So how do we cultivate that?
Yeah.
It's something I've been impressed with ever since I understood it. When I understood God loves me, he gave Christ, because of him, I'm covered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I didn't think it up. The church didn't think it up. God thought it up. It's his way of doing things. That's what he said, and he published it in the best-selling book there's ever been in the history of time. And it will continue to be the bestseller throughout all of time. You won't hear about it on Oprah, though. It won't be on the Channel 5 News. You see, won't be on there that the Bible's the bestseller, or we ought to quit counting that, or can't nobody else get the bestseller. You see, so they don't talk about it, but it's true.
Yes, it is.
And it will continue to be true. But God says, when the heavens and earth have passed away, my word will never pass away. So let's look here. Let's talk about how do we cultivate the fruitfulness to which we are called. Now, how do we know we were supposed to be fruitful? Jesus said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. That means I don't want a soul around the planet not to know the love that I have for them and what I have provided for the world. So you and I, in order to be fruitful, how do we maximize the fruitfulness of our calling? Jeremiah puts it like this. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. If you're just running on human strength, you're not going to get very far. If you think you have to produce what God needs, you're not going to make it very far. He gives a little metaphor here. He says, if your arm, if you trust in man, you make flesh your arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord, you're not trusting in God, you'll be like a heap in the desert. I looked that up. Some translations say a bush. It's a kind of a bush that grows out in the wilderness. It's out there in the desert. There's not any water, no rain normally around, and it pops up, but all it's going to do is die and become a tumbleweed before long. It's not going to prosper and flourish because you're dependent on yourself. And I want to make note here also, I was speaking in an earlier class, and we teach this all the time. These are what we call anthropomorphic statements. In other words, it uses the human body, elements of the body, to help you understand the power of God. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and make his flesh his arm. All you working with is what you got. And who departs from the Lord. That's where your real strength comes from. For he shall be like a heap in the desert, like a bush that's about to just on the brink of death, and shall not see when good cometh. See that? You're blinded to the good side of God, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. See that? That's what you got coming for you if you think you can impress God with your own works or by anybody else's standards. Don't care who it is. Oh, I'm in the school of Confucius. Well, you're heading for the grave. You need to get out of it and get into Jesus. I'm in the school of Buddhism. Well, you're heading for the grave. That's all Buddhism could do for Buddha, was send him to the grave. And so you want to trust in the Lord. Notice the difference here. Verse 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He is my hope. See? You trust in him, you're blessed. And then he gives us a verse that kind of lines up with Psalm 1 from the Psalter. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Look at that. Well, that tree is going to have plenty strong foundation, isn't it? And shall not see heat when it comes. Yeah, it's going to be hot, but don't make no difference. I got a river to keep me fed up here and keep my leaf from withering, as it says. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the years of drought. Even if a drought comes, I'm still good. See that? So when trouble in life comes, neither shall you cease from yielding fruit. You will be fruitful if you trust in the Lord. Remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do it shall prosper. That's the fruitfulness we're talking about for the ones who love God. Unlike people who don't trust in the Lord. See that? So this is what my train of thought went to. I said, okay, I want to let the saints know that they are blessed if they trust God. You are going to be fruitful if you trust God. You're going to be prosperous if you trust God. Everything good in the world is given for you by God. So if you are saved, the scriptures teach that is because God chose you and he called you. We weren't just got smart suddenly and said, oh, I'm going to run to God. No, God chose you. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I have chosen you, John 15:16. And I ordained you. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. See, Jeremiah was saying he was getting in the flesh. Well, I don't think I can handle these folk you're sending me to, Lord. But he told him, don't you know before you were born?
Before you was born.
That before I formed you in your mother's womb, I called you.
Wow.
And I sanctified you, a prophet to the nations. So look at the destiny. Ephesians 1:4, from the foundation of the world, he chose us in him. See that? So you have a long string going all the way back into eternity that brought you to faith in Jesus Christ at the proper time. He told Paul that this was the reason why you were born, to represent me before kings and into the world. He told Paul, you are a prophet to the Gentiles. And so you are saved only because of God called you, and he has taken up residence within you by way of the Holy Spirit, who is in the process of teaching you greater obedience each day as you yield your will to his will in response to greater knowledge of his holy word from day to day. And as you willfully choose to put to death the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yes.
That's what discipleship is.
Wow.
I learned God's way. And you know what? It's going to put me in conflict many times.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff I'm thinking and doing, guess where it came from? Mm. It came from all those years before I knew the Lord, and I got some evil philosophy in my mind, and it's going to be at odds with the Spirit of God. But when God teaches me in his word what's right, when he teaches me what to do, then at that point now I can begin to respond. It may be a journey. You may have a while to go. Sometimes it's hard to put away stuff.
Yes.
You've been dealing with for a long time.
Yeah.
But God knows you.
He knows.
He didn't call you for no reason.
That's right.
Think about Saul, who hated the church. He was on his way down there. Oh, I'm getting them, Lord. I'm going to go bust them up. Because they're doing wrong, Lord. They'd have told people some kind of a gospel. It's not no gospel. It's a violation of the law of Moses. And he was confronted by God on the Damascus Road.
Oh, yes.
And he said, Lord, who art thou? He saw a light brighter than noonday sun.
Yes.
And he got that bad news, which was good news. This is Jesus.
Yes.
Who you persecuting, Saul?
Yeah.
It's hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
I got a way for you to go, but you're going another way.
Uh-huh.
So I had to just interrupt what you're doing right there.
Yeah.
God interrupted me one day. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You stopped me from going away that would have destroyed my soul. You turned me around. I was on a dangerous road, didn't even know it. Going down. And you interrupted me right in the middle of it. And called me and told me, come out of that. And walk with me. So learning to trust God's word will require you to hear, believe, and apply the thoughts of God, and give them priority over any and everything else that opposes, contradicts, replaces, or twists the rightly divided teachings of the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Which is what really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn how to walk with Christ.
Yeah.
It's not a natural thing.
No, it's not.
You know what? Somebody do something to me, first thing I'm thinking in the flesh, you sucker, you.
Retaliation?
That's where you go.
Yeah.
Your mind goes there.
Yeah.
But God said, vengeance is mine,
yeah,
said the Lord.
Yeah.
And I will repay.
Yeah.
You know what I've learned? When somebody does me wrong, back off.
Yeah.
Say, okay, you did me wrong. I'm turning you over to God.
Watch out.
See? And just leave it alone.
Yeah.
All you got to do is sit there and watch. You'll see. God said, vengeance is mine.
Yes, it is.
I will repay. I don't have to go around trying to do that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
See? And so you learn to trust what God says in his word.
Yes.
And not do it the way you used to do it.
Yes.
See, a lot of things you got to learn and be taught. God's going to straighten you out and get you out of it. But if you wait on the Lord, the Bible says, the ones who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You'll keep on going in the Lord. And you'll watch God be the avenger of the stuff that comes against you in life. So that's what I want you to do. Learn to trust God with all your heart. When you say, I don't understand, that's why he said Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. It's not necessary that you understand. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he's going to direct your path. See, he said, I'm going to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'll show you just where to go. If you trust me. Don't worry about do I understand it. That's not the issue. I don't have to understand. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
But I trust him and I thank him because he does it.
Yeah.
So he's got your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Look what Paul says here to the Thessalonians. Now you know he went to Thessalonica after he was rejected in Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beaten in the jail. That was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't done anything wrong. They cast a demon out of a slave girl in Acts 16.
Yep.
End up in the jail, in the stocks, and they got flogged and beaten. The person who flogged and beat them, end up on saying, what must I do to be saved? Before it was all over. See? And Paul went to his house, baptized him and his family the same evening. So when you trust God, he'll fight your battle. You don't have to to fight for yourself.
Yes,
God says, I'll fight your battles.
Yes.
So look what Paul says. And then he went to Thessalonica. They tried to run him out of town, but he since went stood before the courts, said, no, I want justice, because you can be a citizen. That's okay.
Yes.
God gives you rights. If the nation gives you rights, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't go violate the government, because God put them there for your good.
Yeah.
He says here to the Thessalonians, as he's concluding the second epistle, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, look at that, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's the formula. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He did it from the beginning before you ever existed, and he did it to sanctify you, to make you a new person, a new man, a new woman, walking in a new way than you ever walked before. See that? And he chose you from the beginning. Paul figured that out. And it's for sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's really what a disciple is. God's Spirit is in you. He opens up your eyes to see stuff in the Word you never saw.
Yeah.
How many times have you read the Word? You go, but you know, I read that before, but it's hitting me a different way now.
Yeah.
I'm getting something out of this now. I never saw that before.
Yeah.
And he constantly does that to you.
Yes.
So that's why one of your most important things ought to be Bible study.
Yeah. You
want to get into the Word.
Yeah.
Sunday school, where you can learn the Word. Wherefore he called you. See that? By our gospel. That's how the church works.
Yeah.
We go out to places like Thessalonica. They were into paganism.
Mm-hmm.
Paul showed up, told them the gospel. The good news, God, what we just talked about this morning.
Amen.
They got saved. The church was founded.
Yes.
And it began to grow and prosper and become fruitful right there at Thessalonica, even against all the opposition that was raised up against it. See that? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus shares his glory with you? Have you thought about that? I'm impressed about that. He's the glorious one, but I'm sharing it with you. When you come in me, God sees you just like he sees me. So you are partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. And then he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. That's saying by preaching or by reading God's word. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Look at that. We didn't deserve it. He gave it to us through grace. May he comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. He says, keep on doing what you're doing. Stay in the word. Turn off the world. Shut off the voices that are against God. Move forward in his holy name. Let him bless you and fill you with every good thing. So the process of cultivating the fruitfulness of your calling can only happen if you intentionally choose to rely totally on your trust in God's complete provision for your salvation, and couple that with your total commitment to participation in the learning process, so that God can work out everything necessary in your life to bear and maintain the fruitfulness to which you have been called. It's very simple.
Wow.
Make time to include the word in your life, whatever that takes.
Yeah.
Give it the right priority in your life.
Yeah.
When you do, guess what? God's going to kick right in and strengthen you with everything that you need.
Yes, he will.
It's all been settled. God knew from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
See? And he wants you to know it and have that assurance in your heart.
Yes.
And so basically that's it. That's how we can cultivate our fruitfulness in the things that God has prepared for us. Now, and we can talk about this, and we probably will in the future sessions, but I want you to know it starts with faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure you're saved. What does that mean? That means I'm trusting in Christ alone.
Amen.
I'm trusting in the full payment that he made to cover me for my sin. See? I'm trusting in his blood that was shed for my sin.
Yeah.
I'm trusting that he did it right because he got up out the grave.
Yeah.
He declared all power.
All power.
In heaven and earth.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody else has done that.
That's right.
Nobody else. No religious leader, so-called.
Nobody.
These people telling you to be revolting and all that stuff, they're telling you all that, but Jesus is the one out of the grave. You know what? He could have shut the whole government down. The job did wrong. I shut you down. Boom. All he had to do is speak the word. They would have been shut down. But he knew they were going to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing you, like Jeremiah said, you cannot trust in the arm of the flesh, but trust in the arm of the Lord. Remember that we had that a week or so ago, and I'm right to give you an invitation. Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report?
Mm-hmm.
And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Amen.
See, God says, you can have my strength, or you can do it in your own strength. But I want to give you my strength.
Yes.
I want to give you my blessing.
Yes.
I want you to know you're my child.
Mm-hmm.
That you have my power.
Yes.
I gave you my son.
Yes.
I gave you my spirit.
Yes.
And I gave you my word.
Yes.
That's everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let us stand.
Mama!
If there's anybody here in the house today, Lord, that's not understood the gospel, we pray that this day they have understood it, Lord, and that they're asking you right now, save me, O God. Cover me, O Lord, with your grace. Without your grace, I cannot make it. But by grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you today, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I want to ask if there's anyone here that would like to come as a Christian with experience, candidate for baptism, or any way you come, by letter. They used to send people with letters to come and be saved back in the early church. Don't hear much of that today. The church is kind of on a different wavelength. But if any of you ever have to leave here and you want to go somewhere else, the church will provide you with a letter to tell of your fellowship here at St. Timothy. Amen. But if you're here today, whether you're saved and you want to unite with this particular body, we invite you to come. Amen. If you're here and you've never been saved, we invite you to come. Either way, come to the Lord. Amen. Right now. He said, if you delight yourself also in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. Well, we have done as God commands. We hope that you got a good word from a blessing from the word today. Amen.